WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Hal Lipsett has been a private eye since just after World War II. He set up his practice in San Francisco in the late 40s and has established himself as a successful and controversial private investigator. He's hidden out in sleazy motels to photograph adulterous couples. He's solved murders, tracked down thieves and missing people, and helped build the defense cases for Angela Davis, the San Quentin Six, and others. Hal Lipsett pioneered the development and use of many electronic surveillance gadgets. In fact, he was a consultant to Francis Ford Coppola for his movie, The Conversation. A book has just been written about Hal Lipsett called The Bug in the Martini Olive. Lipsett has put listening devices in everything: olives, lighters, pens, tie clasps, even dog droppings.
What had happened was... In preparation for a Senate subcommittee hearing, the administrative people had come out to talk to us. This was on a hearing on the use of these kind of devices by government itself, and the Senate subcommittee was investigating that. They were going to have a big hearing in Washington, and they came out and wanted to know what we had for show and tell. So we demonstrated a microphone, a transmitter concealed in a lighter, concealed in a book, concealed in a package of cigarettes, and the bowl of roses, and this sort of thing, and said, well, that's all great, but can't you come up with something more interesting? Think of something new. And then they explained how television coverage worked, that they started out with television coverage in a Senate hearing, and if it captured the attention of the media, then they would remain and cover the whole hearing, and the senators would get that much more exposure. So we sat around trying to come up with a new idea, and one of the suggestions was to put a transmitter in some doggy do. And then came, of course, the question, well, how do we get this in the Senate hearing legitimately? And one of the of my staff suggested, well, you could pretend to be blind and come in with a seeing eye dog.
Sounds like you guys have fun.
So instead we came up with the idea of the martini olive with the transmitter built in to the body of the olive, and the little red pimento being the microphone, and the wooden toothpick concealing a copper antenna rod. And it must have been a very slow news day for the media, because as I understand it, we made every newspaper in the United States of America with that.
You were chief investigator for Sam Dash, who was the counsel for the Senate Watergate Committee. What were you able to uncover? And I believe you worked for the committee for just about a month or so.
Yeah, well, I knew Dash. It is correct. I knew Sam Dash prior to his being selected as the majority counsel for the Senate Watergate Committee. And he called me in to assist him in planning the investigation, the so-called three-prong investigation into the dirty tricks, the amount of money that was in the safe at the committee to re-elect the president, and the actual break-in at Watergate. I was fortunate to be with Dash, the first person to interview James McCord after he wrote his now famous letter to Judge Sirica, that was basically, I think, the first brick that toppled the president, the first brick out of the pyramid that eventually toppled the presidency of Richard Nixon.
You had your own deep throat. Who was that?
Well, Bob Woodward of Woodward and Bernstein, who were the reporters from the Washington Post, who were most credited with bringing this whole thing into being. I used to be the liaison between the committee and Woodward, and met with him quite often and got committee leads for the investigation from sources that Woodward had dug up, but he did not have the power of subpoena, which the Senate, of course, had.
Did they know what Bob Woodward was doing? Did anyone know besides you, he, and perhaps Sam Dash?
Not that I'm aware of, no. But he, you know, it was a kind of a quo prid quo, if you will, because Woodward would give us information where he was running out of what he could get from people. Then we would do it, in our sense of the word, do the investigation with the power of the Senate behind us. And then members of the committee, senators, would, of course, leak information back to Woodward for their own benefit. So it was a nice ring around that worked to everybody's advantage.
You resigned as the chief investigator because some charges from your past actually caught up with you. There were some charges, I think, of eavesdropping and conspiracy. You had been arrested before?
I had been arrested from a facts arising out of a case in New York City back in 1965, which resulted eventually in my receiving a misdemeanor in New York City with, well, that was what I got, a misdemeanor. I did not have to go to jail, start at go again, or receive any punishment. And taking that as a sign of a medal or anything else. I mean, it's something that happened in my past. But if you recall, Watergate came after the famous Eagleton matter, and I can only assure you that Sam Dash and Senator Ervin and everybody else knew of that misdemeanor in my background before I was hired for the Watergate Committee.
But they felt that your past would somehow hurt the committee?
Well, when Nixon started talking about it, and you'll find some reference to that in the Watergate tapes, when Nixon started talking about it and the media was pointing out the fact that I had been so involved in an eavesdropping case in New York 8 years before, it was just simpler for me to bow out and come back to my own business than to stay in Washington and go on further. I was with Watergate for a month and a half and pleased to have been there, and I didn't want to stay there for 2 years.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Hal Lipset, and he has a private detective agency. He set it up in San Francisco after World War II, and he has been working as a private detective ever since then. A book has just been written about him called The Bug in the Martini Olive. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. I'm speaking with private detective Hal Lipset. You were hired to protect Jim Jones, who was the leader of the People's Temple. Why did he need your help?
Well, 25 years ago, Jones was thought to be saving lives, ex-cons, narcotics addicts. He was another one of those places where people went for help. I was called in when there were some shots fired in what his aides thought was an attempt to assassinate Jones. I went up and did my work and recommended ways of upgrading their security. This was before they moved into San Francisco, into the city atmosphere.
You also, I believe, were in Guyana just a few weeks before the mass suicide of the People's Temple. I think you were there to help one of the cult followers to escape. Did you see Jim Jones then?
No, that's a misunderstanding.
Okay.
I was not there, and that's one of the cases that I'm thankful never materialized. I was invited to go down. Somebody discussed retaining me to help their daughter down there escaped, that the person was sure she was being held against her will. and we did not work out arrangements, and I did not have to go. And, of course, I think today that I'm very fortunate that didn't happen, so I might have gotten my Kool-Aid on the early side.
I understand that you've never carried a gun for your work. Were there times that you wish you had one?
No, I've never wanted to carry a gun.
Have there been times you've had to deal with people who did have guns?
Yes, I've been in those positions, but I used to be pretty fast on my feet. I'm getting a little older now. I'm not as fast as when I run anymore. But basically, I think you can defuse a situation. I don't believe that guns are the answer to anything.
Are you a naturally nosy person? The reason I ask this is that if there wasn't good money in this, would you be in this occupation of private detective?
No, I probably would have gone on to law school, which I had intended to do. My life worked out so that it was convenient for me to start this business at the end of World War II when I got out of the service. I actually worked for two branches of the United States government for a short time as an investigator after my military training. But I always intended to go to law school. It's just that the business started and did well, and we were having a lot of fun, and we just kept on doing it. I don't think I'm basically a nosy person. I like people, and I like helping people. And I know the way people view the private detective and private investigator and private eye game is such that that's what it is. That's the media. That's the shows on television. That's the books. But I like people, and you have to remember that for my clients come to me with a problem, and I am solving a problem for them. So I am their eyes, I am their nose, or nosiness, if you will, and I'm their cavalier.
Hal Lipset, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Hal Lipset is a private detective and the subject of a new book, The Bug in the Martini Olive. This is Fresh Air.